This story of the woman at the well is very kind of beautiful, I think. It reminds you a little of the other stories of Jesus with other women, really sinful women. This woman is probably a sinful woman. There's a woman caught in adultery. There's Mary Magdalene, who was a sinful woman. And how kindly Jesus is to them, kindly to this woman. He actually went there to meet her. Jesus knew what was going to happen. Jesus goes to the well, sits down there, and practically waits for this woman to come so that he can speak to her, change her, convert her. And he did. He converted her, not only her, but everyone in her town, practically. So it's amazing. You know, Jesus is in the temple preaching to the people there, and this woman caught in adultery comes up, is brought up to her, and Jesus is kind to her, forgives her. Do not go and do not sin anymore. I do not condemn you. The kindness of Jesus to Mary Magdalene. The kindness of Jesus to the woman of Nain, who her son died, her only son, her husband died too. She was a widow. Jesus was kind to her. He didn't even ask any sign of faith from her. He just healed her son, brought him back to life without any act of faith on her part, probably because Jesus saw his mother in that woman and comforted her. Do not cry. And he heals, raises her son from the dead. The kindness of Jesus to these women, during his passion, he's kind to them, comforts them. The kindness of Jesus to his own mother. So, you know, Jesus loves women, but he loves men too. And he doesn't love women more than men, or men more than women. We are all the same in his eyes. And yet he doesn't make any women priests. He's got 12 apostles, or men, and then 72 disciples who are priests, will be, and they go off and preach. There's no women. Is he unfair to women because of that? No, he loves women just as much as men. They have a different role to play in our salvation and being disciples of Jesus, carrying out a different role. It's just interesting, I think, the way he treats this woman and other women. Doesn't follow the culture. Here he is speaking alone to a Samaritan woman. The disciples are shocked that he would do that. So, but he speaks to her and converts her, and she goes from a woman in heresy, I suppose, and maybe lacking in some faith. 5 husbands. Was she divorced? We don't know. Did they die? Seems like she was some kind of a sinful woman, maybe. She's living with a man who's not her husband, so she must be sinful. And yet Jesus shows this mercy to her and to the others. And she gradually but quickly sees him as a prophet. And this idea of water, the physical thing, Jesus turns it to a spiritual thing. I will give you living water, which will well up in you to eternal life, and you'll never have to drink again. The living water of what? Of grace, the grace of God. I will pour into you the living water of my grace, which is my life, my spiritual life in you, which we receive in the Eucharist, in the sacraments, in prayer. Jesus lets us live in by his grace, pours forth this living water in us, depending on our desire for grace, our access to the sacraments, access to Mass. It's interesting, with the coronavirus, churches are closed. Some families here in the church, I think, are coming because they can't go to Mass in their own area, maybe. A young brother here now can't find Mass easily in his area. I think, where is it? In Washington, D.C., or is it Maryland somewhere? And so he comes to stay with us because he wants to go to Mass. He wants to receive Jesus, the source of living water, the grace. So it's kind of a tragedy that we churches are closing. Kind of an unprecedented thing, I think, isn't it? Have churches ever closed because of pestilences or illnesses or sicknesses? You would think, maybe I want to go to church to counteract it. I need, above all, Jesus, His grace, His living water, and yet they're closing churches. Is this an interdict? We have an interdict now? I don't know. And maybe we should put things into perspective a little bit on illnesses too, sicknesses too. You know, there is a bit of, you know, we Catholics especially, who have to lead in faith and sometimes common sense too. We look at this illness with common sense too, and faith and trust in God. We have to look at it all in that eyes and then act accordingly. Should we be reacting the way we are? You know, I won't say, you know, my opinion, but let us act in faith and trust in God and what we do, and desire for God's grace. So we see Jesus here in all his humanity. He's hungry, he's thirsty, he's tired, and here he is looking for souls. Looking for this woman's soul, looking for the salvation of souls of the Samaritans, who he pretty much converts the whole town. The charity of Jesus, he stays with them 2 days and changes their heart and soul, brings them to himself. So what do we gather from this too? We want this living water. We want Jesus. We want him in the Eucharist, in the sacraments, in prayer, to draw closer to our Lord, to receive as much of this living water as we can now and throughout our life, you know, into eternity, always feeding on this living water of Jesus, his grace, his body and blood in the Eucharist. More of it in our devotion to Our Lady and through the Rosary, to live on this living water and to practice our faith, let Jesus live in us. Through our practice of his teachings and his gospel and living in him.